Philippians 3, beginning at verse 4. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus.
Well, let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Our Father, what a wonderful service of worship. How good it is to hear a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to baptize Martha. How good it is to enjoy fellowship with Mukuntu and to say farewell to a dearly loved brother. We come to your word and pray that through it and by the power of your Spirit, you would speak to us all this morning. We celebrate our bond together as a church family, and we pray that you would knit us ever closer around your word and through faith in Jesus, for we ask in his name. Amen. Amen. I'm told the copyright laws around the world are much more fluid than they are in England. In particular, in China, there are also almost no copyright laws at all. And it's quite fun to try and spot the fakes out on Chinese high streets. Here are some amazing examples of things that folks in China have got away with. This is McDonald's with an extra arch. This is Pizza Hut, or some semblance of it. And finally, when it came to Starbucks, they were very unoriginal and went for Buck's Star instead. We're not immune from such fakery. In this country, if you go down to the temporary market that's sometimes up on Parker's Piece and delve into some of the stalls there, you'll realise we're not squeaky clean. That Prada handbag on sale for £20 isn't really a Prada handbag, and Jimmy Choo wouldn't recognise those shoes going for £50 if his life depended on it. But we all know, don't we, as enlightened customers, that the lesson we learn is that everything that's valuable gets faked. Everything that's valuable gets faked. That's true in the world of shopping. It's certainly true in the world of spiritual things. Martha has confessed her faith in Jesus this morning. She's explained that she's embraced the teaching of the Bible, the good news, the Bible calls it, of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful message of God's love and how he sent Jesus to die on the cross to reconcile us to himself. But it's such a valuable message that at times people have tried to fake it. They've tried to imitate it. Which brings us to our reading this morning. We've read a passage from a letter to a church in a city called Philippi. And there were new missionaries in that city when Paul wrote to them. But they weren't good missionaries. These guys were con men. They faked the gospel. They changed the message. What they offered wasn't the authentic Christian gospel. They were sincere. They spoke well. They were very impressive. They seemed to know what they were talking about. But all they could offer was a lie. They were no better than Dodgy Dave with his fake Rolex watches down at the market. In fact, they were worse than Dodgy Dave down at the market. Because the Christian gospel they were faking was not a bit of bling to entertain family and friends. It was about eternal life and death. Here was the problem. They were suggesting that if people like you and I wanted to get right with God, we had to do things to make that possible. It was all about our family background and our enthusiasm for God or our good deeds. Which is to say, these terrible missionaries to the city of Philippi were telling people that if they wanted to get right with God, they put all their reliance on themselves. In the passage, the Apostle Paul uses a phrase, confidence in the flesh, to summarize that idea. And the Apostle Paul won't stand for it. Look, he says, if getting right with a God was about what I do, the Apostle Paul said, look, I have a better shot at it than anybody else. Verse 4 in the Bible, if you're following it with me. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, wrote the Apostle Paul. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless, the Apostle Paul said. If anybody could get right with God by trying hard, well, I'm your man. I had the right family background, Paul writes. I was born in the right country. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. There's no Gentile blood in me, and I can trace my line all the way back to Benjamin. And if it's enthusiasm you're looking for, well, I was a Pharisee. I knew the Bible inside out, I back to front. And when I was asked by my bosses, I did exactly what I was told, and I went out and persecuted Christians. And good deeds, obeying God to win him over. Well, if that's what it took, I was your man. I was circumcised on the eighth day, he says, and I've obeyed God's law ever since. I was faultless, in a word. If that was what it took to become a Christian, if that's what it took to get right with God, I'm your man, says the Apostle Paul, but it's not. It's fake Christianity. It's not the real deal at all. If we were writing today about the church today, we might say that being a Christian is not about being born in England. And it's not about being taken to church each Sunday with your mum and dad. It's not about winning God's favour by saying your prayers every evening. Getting right with God has never been about your family background or your enthusiasm or your good deeds. So if that's fake Christianity, if that's a fake gospel, what's the real deal? What's the authentic Christian message? Well, the Apostle Paul comes on to explain now. At verse 7 in chapter 3, if you're following in the Bible, verse 7. But whatever were to gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Here's the first mark of real Christianity. Spiritually bankrupt without Jesus. We recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt without Jesus. Paul, in verse 7, as he begins to write, he turns to use an illustration from the world of finance. If being born in the right family, or if being enthusiastic about God, or by doing good things, if that kind of stuff could win you to God, well, we could say they go in the positive column of the Excel spreadsheet. But the Apostle Paul came to realize those things were actually taking him away from God, not helping him with God, because he was trusting them as a way of getting close to God. And because his trust was in the wrong place, he was actually getting further and further away from God. His family background, his enthusiasm, his good deeds, they weren't making him closer to God. He says they were a loss to him. They were taking him further away. Because he thought he didn't need Jesus. He could do it all on his own. He says, actually, I look back now and see all of that was rubbish. Or the word in the Bible here is garbage. It kept me from God. And isn't it lovely in Martha's testimony that she can say it wasn't her prayers that got her to heaven. It wasn't her good deeds or her family background that made God like her. Not at all. Martha came to see that she couldn't get right with God on her own. She needed Jesus. And without Jesus, she was spiritually bankrupt. But there's more to the Christian faith than that. And here's the next big mark of true Christianity. It's this, trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. I've talked about getting right with God, but there's a kind of technical term in the Bible that used to express that. It's the word righteousness. Comes from the law courts, a judge who says to an accused person, you're not guilty, you're innocent. Well, that judge has declared the person to be righteous. And that's what this whole passage has been about. The false missionaries in Philippi have taught about a righteousness that must be earned from God. But true Christianity begins with the realization that we can't earn righteousness by obeying the law. Authentic Christianity says that we are given righteousness by God simply through trusting in Jesus. That's my experience. That's Martha's experience. That's what the Bible teaches. The Apostle Paul, as he followed Jesus, suffered all kinds of hardships in his life. He lost almost all the things that mattered to him most. His family probably disowned him. He lost his home, his friends, his work. He lost credibility. He became despised in the community he grew up in. Because the Apostle Paul trusted in Jesus, he experienced hardship and hunger and beatings. Yet everything he lost, he says, everything he has suffered, it pales away compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's how the Apostle Paul expresses it. Because he knows that in Jesus, and only through trusting in Jesus, finally he is made right with God. But there's one final mark of real Christianity that we'll look at this morning, and that's this. It's spiritually growing in Jesus. Spiritually growing in Jesus. And it's interesting how the Apostle Paul finishes his testimony. Verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul knows that everything he needs from God, he finds in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true, and still the Apostle Paul wants more. I want to know Jesus better, he writes. I want to love Jesus more. I want to experience that same power of God in my life that raised Jesus from the grave. I want to know more of Jesus, even if living for Jesus means suffering for Jesus, writes the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul shows the final mark of a real Christian. The final mark of true Christianity is not stopping where we are, but growing, hungering more for the Lord Jesus. Remember, won't you, this morning, that valuable things are always faked, whether it's a Prada handbag or a Rolex watch, but especially spiritual things. Martha has found true, authentic Christianity because Martha has found Jesus. Or rather, we might say, Jesus has found Martha. Martha knows that she is spiritually bankrupt without Jesus. Martha knows that her only hope before God is to trust in Jesus. And Martha, as a whole church family, we are praying for you that you would go on spiritually growing in Jesus as Paul wants you to, as we want you to, as God himself wants you to. Let's pray. Our Father, we're delighted to find in the scriptures this description of true Christianity. Keep us from the fakes, we pray. Keep us from ever thinking that by trying hard, or by being English, or by being born in the right family, we can get right with you. Remind us always, as we think on this day, as we think on these scriptures, as we think on Master's baptism, remind us that it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be made right with you, and that as we follow Jesus, we want more and more of him. Keep these things in our hearts and minds. Keep these things in Master's heart and mind in the weeks and months ahead, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.